Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Oh my gosh, we are with Mike Kim. It has been a long time coming, but I'll tell you what, you intercepted my life. You didn't even know this, but you just came out with a new book, you and Andy. So let's jump right into it. Own your brand, own your career, and I'm sure we'll tell our backstory of how we met, but great book. I already bought it. It's already Cedarville University's curriculum.
What?
Oh yeah.
Dude, listen, amazing.
I move fast. So in the spring, I'm going to teach a brand new class at Cedarville University called Personal Branding. And I just met with my co-professor and I said, what do you think? He's like, let's do it. So maybe we can bring you on Zoom.
I would love that.
For the students.
Bring us both on. We would love it. That would be incredible.
Isn't that crazy? So now you can, live. Now you can go live with the fact that your book is being taught in the university level.
Dude, thank you. I know you move fast, but come on, man. That's awesome. Crazy. High fives. Yeah.
No, listen, man. Yeah. So I think I love it. The audio is not out yet, though.
We're working on that right now. It'll be out mid-November at the latest. Yeah, okay. We're just churning away at it. Yeah.
So tell us, you got this great workbook. I read through the whole workbook. You talk about LinkedIn, the whole thing. But like, why did this book even happen?
Well, you know a little bit more about my back. I mean, you've been with me day one. I think you were the first person ever on my podcast over 10 years ago.
We stayed in a hotel room.
Yes, we did. Me and Bob. Yeah. And I gotten to know Andy. He and I were in a mastermind together for a year, but we had known each other a few years earlier than that. But you know how you and I move in similar ways. Like we watch people. We notice.
Oh, yeah.
We look at how they show up. We look at the quality of their work. Mm-hmm. And as I got to know him better, I said, hey, I know you've written a book on the career space. I've written this bestseller in personal branding, and I know these principles will apply.
Yeah.
You've got the chops. You've got the goods. You've written a book. You've done webinars. You've done virtual summits. I did not want a partner who was green on all that. He'd all done this before. So we could channel all our best creativity and our focus into a great manuscript. And I said, how about my book and your book get together and have a baby?
I love that.
And we update some things. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So it's been about a 2-year process.
Wow.
We did things slowly but quickly. Quickly and intentionally. We tested out webinars, we tested out our content. And Carrie, as you know, the world has just shifted dramatically
in the last
2-3 years, AI, all of this stuff. And so I really wanted to equip that audience, but that wasn't where my footprint was. And we can go into both Igniting Souls and talking about helping people wake up and awake to their calling, but also from an intellectual property standpoint.
Yes.
This wasn't my target market, but I found a partner here in Andy that I thought would do this really, really well. And I'm like, hey, no ego. Your name can go first on the book. That's where your connections are.
Wow.
But I can bring the credentials of a best-selling author who's hit Wall Street Journal and USA Today. Truth be told, most of the endorsements are probably going to come from you and your market. So I can't contribute there, but I'll do the lion's share of the writing. I'll synthesize the ideas. I'll codify everything. My team will do the marketing and the design. I'll do the strategy for the marketing. So this is awesome. The book's been out about a month.
Yeah.
He's keynoting virtually on stage everywhere, selling books left and right. I'm doing this stuff, the more virtual stuff in the entrepreneurial space. Mm-hmm. We're running the ads. We're kicking up a newsletter. We're working on the audiobook. So,
let's stop here. I love this because this is great. Most people do not know how to pick the right partner. And you and Andy had this great podcast where I love what you said. You said you kind of like pursued him. But then you looked at him and you kind of looked at his portfolio, even down to the fact, it's funny because I listened to this literally. You heard my message when I'm like, dude, I'm hopping on a plane, but I'm listening to you guys right now. And what you said was, he even overcame cancer. And that was part of like, hey man, this guy is not weak. So talk about that. Just like picking the right partner. You've done this with Mary Valone, one of our author Academy lead authors way back when, but like you seem to have a knack for picking the right collaborators.
I think it's really, I mentioned a few things before, like on paper, he had a body of work that I knew I wouldn't have to coach him through this process for the first time. Like, oh man, I didn't want that. Secondly, he, you know, you and I talked years ago about partner up, collaborative, mentor around. I learned that from you.
Yes. And I heard that. I got to give a shout out. I heard that
from
a dude named Paul Martinelli. Yep. And you ended up meeting him. Yeah, sure.
Yep. And so, That was big for me. I felt like we were peanut butter and jelly. Mm. Like it wasn't more of the same. We had different strengths and weaknesses, which is what you want in a partner.
Yes.
But I also said to myself, I could work my tail off for the next 5 years and I wouldn't have the network and the connections that Andy has. That's what I look at as a partner up. And he could work for the next 5 years and not have the entrepreneurial network or the best-selling book or whatnot that I had. Right, those credentials, like particularly the bestseller lists.
Yeah.
So as we got to know each other, hung out a number of times before we were in a mastermind together, then we're seeing each other every 2 weeks. I invited him to speak at one of my events. He flew all the way from Barcelona over.
Oh, got my sick, gosh.
Couldn't make the event. Had to stay in his hotel 15 minutes away.
Why? Because he got sick?
He got sick.
Oh, just my COVID, gosh.
I don't know what it was. You know, everyone was dealing with post-COVID stuff at that time.
Right.
But dude, he was texting me. He was like, hey, I'm thinking about you at the event. He treated the event like it was his own.
Wow.
And I'm like, this says a lot about his character. I know that he went through the cancer journey and overcame that. He's really, you know, prioritized his health and his life. And I'm like, this is what I want. Like, in a guy, like he's going to show up. He's probably going to push this harder than even I do.
Wow.
And I was like, look, we're together on the book and any of the IP, the communities that are built around this, but you keynote around this. I don't want your keynote fees. Like that's your livelihood.
Yeah.
You go sell the book. We'll share the book profits. I'll go sell the book. Let's keep showing up and checking in. And that's what I was looking for. I wanted that kind of commitment.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like a relationship, right? Then you date for a while and then you pop the question.
You
commit, you know, we are together forever.
That's right.
Like, forever. So that was awesome, man. It was just like Jeff Bezos talks about one-way doors and two-way door decisions.
I remember this. I'll share this. This is really good.
Yeah. We get into trouble when we treat every decision like it's a one-way door, when in reality they're two-way doors. You can back out of stuff. So there were things that we teamed up on, speaking at each other's events, webinars, and then I could say, hey, look, this isn't a great fit. But once I just started seeing it rack up and there was proof of life here, I was like, let's do this. Let's team up. Let's get married. and we did it. So yeah, that's where we went.
I love that. That is, folks, he's dropping gold on how to pick the right partner. Don't pick somebody just like you. Pick somebody who's proven. Pick somebody up who brings resources that you don't, and vice versa. But I think another thing that I appreciate you is you just ooze IP, intellectual property. And I've really gotten into that space a lot lately. And we'll have to talk offline about instant IP and all this stuff. But literally, I mean, the one-way door, the two-way door. You said something recently. You came out with a post how your dad had your book. And he said, I've been reading your book. I forget where I saw this on social media or something recently, your newsletter. But you're like, books live forever. Books are asset. He wasn't saying I was reading your blog. So even talk about the permanence of IP in the form of a physical book.
So my dad passed about 6 months ago. He'd been battling cancer for about 2 years. And you know a little bit of backstory because I've shared with you on the personal side. Yeah. And we patched things up the last 6-7 years, man. Wow. I'm very proud that we did that. We had a really, really hard life together.
Yeah.
And he reached out first when I turned 40.
Wow.
And then it was in my court, and you know, the ball was in my court. And I was like, I responded. I was like, you know what? Let's do this. Like, we're grown men now. The past is in the past. You're the only father I have. I'm the only son you have.
Wow.
And went to visit him in Hawaii. Then a couple years later, visited him in Korea. And I was shocked at how much his health had deteriorated. Mm. Right after that second visit, he was diagnosed with cancer. And so I rushed back, you know, this past May. And, you know, he passed. But he was cognizant. He had suffered a stroke. So he couldn't talk, but he could understand the thing. So I go to his apartment, and I actually have this. This was the first book I wrote, You Are the Brand.
Yes, I remember that.
The bestseller list.
Fantastic.
And it was translated into Korean.
What? So
he grabbed the Korean copy over in Korean. He'd be texting me every couple of days, hey, I got your book. Like, it's a weird translation. It's very, very literal.
Wow.
And he's an intelligent guy. So I saw these two on his couch, dude.
And, that is cool.
I found some language on this. Have you heard of the Lindy effect?
Maybe just from you, because I've been diving deep into Mike Kim lately. But yeah, talk to me.
So the Lindy effect is a filter, and it basically says the longer something's endured, the more likely it'll keep enduring. And it has this weird origin. It's from a deli like that's now gone in New York City. And sorry, my camera shorted out here.
That's all right.
Okay.
We got your audio. Though.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. And in the mid-1900s, comedians and showbiz people, they would hang out there and they noticed something, that the longer a Broadway show was already running, the more likely it was going to keep running.
Wow.
And they would say, that show is Lindy, right? And it resonates with me because it connects to something like this idea of material consequence, right? That, dude, I have never looked at my Dropbox folder or my Google Drive and said, look at this incredible body of work.
Look at this lead so magnet fleeting. I created. Look at this, right? Look
yeah, we never say that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You and I are 80s kids. We grew up in a very physical world. We play with action figures, toys, Transformers. Mm-hmm. It's why we still go to concerts. It's still why, you know, we go out and walk in nature.
Yeah.
And I remember maybe a couple years ago, this is really the genesis of it. I was invited to a mastermind with Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels.
Yeah.
And he said, just kind of offbeat, offhand, he said, you know, no one's ever told me my online course changed their life. They've always told me my book changed their life.
Wow.
And that birthed something in me. And, you know, my personal life too. It's like, went through a divorce and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like have actual kids in this lifetime. Like, this timing is real weird.
Sure.
And I was thinking about a lot of things, that my dad got sick. So I'm just looping all these things together. Yeah. And dude, I just decided like, this is hitting me really differently. And books are one of those things that are Lindy. They will last. They've been all around for human history. So that was it, man.
I've been ringing that bell.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because I've never heard somebody introduced as, next up, let's bring up Joe Smith. Joe Smith created a lead magnet. You know, or let's bring up Joe Smith, the guy who posted a meme.
Yeah. You know,
like you say, no, let's bring up Mike Kim, the best-selling author of You Are the Brand. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that in our English culture, Western world, even Tiger Woods wrote the book on golf. Did he write a book? I don't know. But we still say he wrote the book on golf because it's a perceived credibility. I'm 100% with you.
Well, I remember when I met you, you had already had a number of books out.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so cool. And man, look at me now, right? Like, I remember you spoke at my first conference. Here's the latest one with Andy. Here's the one
I remember that here, speaking at your event. Oh my gosh, fully funded.
And it was what? Yeah. And then it was 18 streams of income from your book, right? You spoke on.
Yep.
And dude, I went back and revisited that talk. I'm going to post it on YouTube so everyone can get it.
Okay.
I'll do that. We'll bring a blast
back. That would be amazing.
But that was the roadmap that I followed, dude. And I sit here now at 47 years old. I've been in my business now for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this is what matters.
It is.
This is what my nephews will read and see when they grow up.
They will outlive you. They will literally outlive you.
Yeah.
That's so freaky. Yeah. Like, you know, right. I mean, but it's true. Like, I'll read C.S. Lewis and be like, oh my gosh, like, dude's been gone for decades, but you know, or let's talk about our faith book, right? I mean, it's like, holy cow, thousands of years old, and it's affecting us today. It's unbelievable.
The number one bestseller of all time.
That's right. And that was our original connection, because weren't you like, I was a pastor and you were a worship pastor?
Yeah. And Jared Easley introduced us, and you were the first guest ever on my podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And so here we are all these years later, we're still going strong, making an impact in the world.
Yeah.
But every day I get notices from people that I've read your book or a new review.
Yes.
It's just working when I'm not working. And you talk about igniting souls a lot, Gary, and like finding purpose and doing things that mean something.
Yep.
This is the most important thing. This is what my dad had on his couch. It wasn't my lead magnet, my blog, my podcast. No, it was this. I actually told him while he was sick, while I was out in Korea, I knew he couldn't really talk to me. He could still nod. I'm like, Dad, I gave a speech about you. Do you want to hear it? He's like, no.
Is that what he said?
I think he was like, no, I don't want to. He just shook his head. No. He's probably like, I've read your books. So I don't need to hear about that. He wanted the substance. He wanted the substance, man. So
interesting.
That's great.
That's great. And let's jump in, because I gotta promote you and Andy. I mean, this is amazing. I was shocked that you gave away so much gold in this workbook. In fact, you know, as I was reading this, I thought, oh my gosh, because I was waiting for the book to ship. Because I was actually bummed it wasn't on audio, you know? But it's coming, so don't worry, everybody.
It's coming.
But I bought the book, and I immediately said, while I'm waiting, I'm going to actually read through this. I read through it immediately on the airplane. And it is gold, man. I mean, people are getting they're getting a masterclass. This one especially. And by the way, at Cedarville, you know, I was like to the professor, I'm like, he uses the word pissed off. And I said, he says it on purpose, and let's talk about that. So the other professor's cool with it and everything, but I like that you have this edgy thing, because, and of course it's IP. I love it. And offline, we're going to help you get that protected with instant IP. So I'll tell you all about that. But what is this amazing thing? Talk about those three things, because this is just one little piece of your book.
Well, you and I are both of the same ilk in that, you know, you get your best ideas on the field of play, not when you're theorizing. And I found early on in my career where I do some of these personal branding workshops and helping people get clarity about what their values were, what was important to them. Every time I ask them, what do you want? What's important to you? What kind of career? What kind of work do you want to do? What kind of business do you want to build? It was all fluffy and diluted. And I realized that's not how traction works. Like, to move forward, you need friction. And maybe I'm asking everybody to spin their tires out of the snow in only one direction.
You're in Ohio.
I'm in Jersey. It snows here. Like, when you're stuck in snow, you go forward and backwards. And I was just trying to help them move forward. So when I started to ask them, well, what do you hate? What do you not like? Oh my gosh, the answers came flying out. We see this everyday conversation. Hey, honey, what do you want to eat for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know, anything. Oh, do you want Chinese? No, it's too greasy. I don't want that. How about Italian? No, it's too heavy. Indian? No, it's too spicy. They have immediate answers.
Wow.
I was like, I'm onto something here. So that's where, and I'm a New Jersey guy. We talk like this all the time. Like, what pisses you off? And I think that sort of jolts them to a point where just like, you know what ticks me off? This, and this.
Yeah.
And people never get to air out what's inside. And then my job is, as I listen to all this, what are these threads that I'm seeing that I can tie together?
Yeah.
So I remember one of your early books, Day Job to Dream Job. I devoured that thing when I was in my own journey. And I was like, man, I'm appreciative of my company. I'm appreciative of the leadership role I have here, but this is not it. And I want to go from what I'm doing during the day to that dream life.
Yep.
I want to move from a present negative to a future positive.
That's cool. Right?
And so that's where that comes from. And now with this book, it's really about people looking at their job objectively.
Yeah.
And what they like and what they don't like. And so not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. I will die on that hill. It's not for everybody. But the principles are.
Yeah.
I think your life being in your own hands and having agency, that's what's so, so important. So yeah, absolutely. Well,
subtitles are always super important to me. The Strategic Guide to Building an Authentic Personal Brand that Accelerates Your Success. I shared this to a few students. Their eyes all light up, and I tell them, well, I do have some haters. Some haters say, you know, and again, I just have to teach them a little bit, but some people think that having your own brand sounds very self-absorbed. And, you know, at a Christian university, they might be like, well, does God even want us to have a personal brand? And what I tell people is like, it's day one, like right out of the gate, you say, you have a brand, you might as well own it. Is this right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Jeff Bezos, you probably know this, but his definition of brand is what people say about you when you're outside the room.
Yeah.
And to me, when I look at the Bible, it says a lot of what people should say about us. Like, it's like, you should have the fruit of the Spirit. You should be salt. You should be light. You should have generosity. You should have compassion. You should have forgiveness. Like, if anybody talks more about branding, I honestly think it's Jesus.
Look, I have a seminary. I have a master's in biblical literature. Like, I have an MBA. Yeah. Like, I went to seminary. And so let me go down this little bit. What do we call Thomas? Yes.
Doubting Thomas.
Ooh. That's his brand. What do we call Peter, right? What's this most common story we tell? The Peter who had no faith that Jesus, he could walk on the water and cuts off ears. These guys have brands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's David? Peter, a man after God's own heart.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Man after God's own heart, but yet Bathsheba. Okay? Ah. So like we distill, I think it was maybe you who shared this or in conversations that we had, like, what I mean by a brand is it's a public facing identity. Mm. And this is how I tee up personal brand. It's comprised of your ideas, your reputation, your expertise, and your personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in reality, I don't have one here, but it's like, think about a Lego brick. Human beings have so much stuff on their minds. You can only occupy one peg on that Lego brick. And that's why we call him Doubting Thomas. I'm sure Thomas did a lot of other good things.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran the race,
yeah.
But we just brand him.
I like that.
And Thomas.
Even the James and John were called the Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. They sound like a WWE tag team, bro.
I love that. No, but this is so true. And this is what we do with humans. We reduce them to a brand, right or wrong. But it's because the brain can only have so many, like what you're saying, have so many categories, our attention, you know? So it's like when people interact with you, what do you want them to say about you? Like, oh, that guy's a jerk, or that person's selfish or prideful, or you can say really good things too.
Yeah. And in the world of work, in corporate, which is what this book is for, that is absolutely what people do. When you have 50 coworkers, when you're going in Monday morning, beating traffic and fighting it, and you're just frazzled, just showing up, you are not trying to empathize and understand your coworker from across the hall. Like we know. And so this is in a context of corporate work, but like even with my book with Mary and Fully Funded, where we're helping Christian missionaries raise more money, these principles apply. It's how are people talking, like you just said, how are people talking about you at your home church when you're off the field or when you're on the field while you're all away? What are the pastors and the leadership saying about you in that room when they're discussing whether they're going to have you preach on Sunday because you're back from on furlough or not? I was on staff at a church. Those were very real conversations. They happen. This is just human nature. So by brand, I would just say identity or reputation. If that word bothers you, then reputation, how to build an authentic personal reputation, right? That accelerates your, then it'll soften it up, but it's the same principle.
That's it, man. Listen, I'm telling people they got to get this book, even for the workbook. I mean, you lead people down how to post on LinkedIn, what to post, what should be your banner, what should be your tagline. I mean, the book is chock full of helpful things. I'm going to share my screen here as we land the plane here, but MikeKim.com, tons of good stuff. I've seen you speak at many places, including Social Media Marketing World. By the way, that is a great talk. I listened to the whole thing. Literally, you talk about the three P's in there, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
So you know, go ahead.
Yeah, Social Media Marketing World. I just want to tell you this in front of your own audience. We went to Social Media Marketing World together the first year.
That's right.
And that was in 2016. And we just went as attendees.
That's right.
And that was Brian Dixon. And we went there, and this is when my marriage just had blown up. I was completely blindsided. You know, long story short, we ended amicably and all that. So like that's the end story. But when I was going through it, I mean, it was rough. And I remember, dude, you were like, hey, you're rooming with me. I was like, Carrie, I'm a grown man. I don't room with people in the hotel. He's like, you're rooming with me. And you treated me like we were on a youth group retreat chaperone. That's and you're right. Like, you're sleeping on the inside bed so that if you sneak out, you're going to have to get past me. And I was like, all right.
See, and tell people why I said that. Because, look, I knew that we all get tempted.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go out. I wanted to party. I wanted to drink, whatever it was. I was just in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I remember you said, hey, get up tomorrow morning. We're going to church. And you and Brian took me to church. And I was just in tears. I don't even think I stood the whole service. I sat in the chair. Tears were hitting the floor. And then you brought me to the beach. And we just got a workout in. I don't know if you remember.
We did the workout. Oh, my gosh.
And we show up at my friend Ann's house of three sweaty dudes. She's like, what is it? Her husband was like, what kind of work friends do you have? We all had lunch there. And we went back to the venue, and you and Brian were like, hey, let's visualize this. Go up on that stage. I'm going to speak here one day. And 2 years later, I spoke there. And I spoke 2 years in a row.
I love that.
And I want your audience to know that this is what Carrie Oberbrunner did for me, man. And a year later, I spoke at Igniting Souls.
Yes.
You so graciously invited me out. You didn't see me for what I was going through. You still saw the treasure and the value in me. And that's where I met Mary. And look at this. 7 years later, dude, we have
collaboration.
I want you to know this because I don't even think you know this. I'm going to pull up these stats here. Since that time where we met, Mary and I met at Igniting Souls, we've had over 2,300 students in our program, reaching over 102 nations for the Lord through this book. Dude, think about that.
Praise God, man. That's crazy.
That's wild. That's wild.
That is crazy.
IP did it. IP did it. Writing books of substance did it. And now I've got three different IPs, if you will.
I love it. I love it.
Three different markets. But hey,
this is powerful.
Thank you, Carrie Oberbrunner.
Well, listen, I did not, you know, and I've thought of you often, really, because you told my whole audience, I got to land with this story. And then we're launching a dude's book in 2 minutes on another channel. But you said, write a blog article. You know, you might not remember this. You told my whole audience, you said, write a blog article called Carrie Oberbrunner Exposed.
Yes.
You remember this?
Yes, I do.
And I'm like in the back, I'm like, don't do that. And then the people did. And then because you wanted them to like catch people's attention and then write something positive.
Yeah.
But I, for a little while there, man, if you Googled my name, it was like, Carrie Oberbrunner Exposed.
You got some attention that way. That's good. That's exactly what you want.
That's what you're good at. You're good at marketing. So you've always pushed me. Nisha, can you follow up with Mike and let's get you, me and Mike chatting very soon about just life and IP and all this good stuff. But yeah, we're going to pump you up at Cedarville. We're going to, you know, you're now a university staple curriculum, man.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right.
All right,
get his book, everybody. And thanks for being here today, Mike.
Love you, bro. See you soon.
Love you too, man. We'll see you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.